We're going to bring in Steve Gilbert, who covers the Diamondbacks for MLB.com. And, Steve, great to have you on this morning. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Marty. How are you?
We're doing great. As I said, the series continues today between these two teams. These are interesting games these guys play. They're always very tight with one another. And then there's a little bit of emotion going on underneath.
Yeah. Seems like yesterday a little bit of the frustration for the Diamondbacks, at least for the way their season's gone, kind of bubbled over for them. And the Giants, the same. So it was a pretty intense game last night, and we'll see what happens tonight. Or yeah. This afternoon, I should say.
Well, that's right. Coming up, of course, at 1:05, Steve Gilbert with us, MLB.com. And the Diamondbacks are here. They're very excited. But one Diamondback is not here today. He's probably on his way to the airport. And that sort of happened after the game last night. And tell us about it.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a surprise, the timing of it all. But the Diamondbacks traded Brad Ziegler to the Red Sox. Actually, in the seventh inning of last night's game, they didn't announce it until postgame. But they traded him to the Red Sox for a pair of prospects. And Brad's on his way today to meet the Red Sox. And he's back in a pennant race.
Yeah, and what did the Diamondbacks get back for Ziegler? Because it's interesting, they made so many trades of getting rid of minor leaguers, that obviously with Shelby Miller and the Segura deal and things like that, and now what do they get back?
Yeah, they got a couple of kids. One's a 19-year-old, the other's a 20-year-old, so they're a little ways away. Brad is a guy who is going to be eligible for free agency at the end of the year, so I'm sure that kept down his value just a little bit. And I think from their standpoint, from the Diamondback standpoint, he's going to be a free agent next year. So with where they were in the race, I think that it made sense for them to deal him. They'll possibly try to bring him back during the off season, but they figured why not get what they could for him right now, and at least save a little bit of money here in the second half, and maybe get a couple prospects that'll pay off in the long run.
Now, as I say, Steve with us, Steve Gilbert, is this the proverbial white flag going up and we've had enough and we're open for business?
Well, I don't think, in some ways yes, in some ways no. I don't think they're going to trade anybody that's under contract for next year or who they feel is part of their core. So I really think the only person that could get dealt as well at this point is probably a guy like Daniel Hudson, who like Ziegler, has had success in the bullpen, and like Ziegler, is a free agent at the end of the year. So I don't think that they're going to look to deal any one of their core pieces or any one of their pieces that are under contract for the next 2 years, because when they went all in this past offseason, they kind of were targeting not just this year but the next 2 years as well. So they feel like they have a window right here, and I don't think they're going to trade anybody who's under contract for that window.
All right, we'll see. Now, last night was interesting. Of course, as I say, these teams have played very competitive games. One or two runs usually separates the two ball clubs, and they know each other so well now. And Corbin looked like he took dead aim on Posey last night. I said, if you were having a catch with your father or your son or your daughter, and you want to throw it right at their chest, you do it the way Corbin did to Posey last night. Now, I don't want to accuse him of anything, but I don't want Tony La Russa to come in here and yell at me. But it looked like a direct hit on Posey last night.
Well, I think the Diamondbacks, he's just speculating on my part, because obviously they're not going to say anything. I think part of it is Segura's been hit a bunch this year. He had gotten hit Wednesday against the Padres in the exact same spot. He homered in the first inning, and then Samardzija hit him in his very next at bat. And I think the Diamondbacks kind of felt that may have been intentional. And so they're a little sensitive there. Corbin then, did look like he threw at Posey. So that's, I'm sure that's something that didn't sit well, and that's, the way these things go. One team interprets them one way, another team interprets them, the other. So I think the Diamondbacks are also a little sensitive from earlier in the year when Osich hit David Peralta on back-to-back games right in that forearm, and he ended up on a DL as a result. I think that they still remember that too.
Very good. Now, good information. Yeah, baseball players do not forget. Isn't it amazing? They just don't forget.
And they all have different interpretations as to how things should be handled and what things were on purpose and what things weren't on purpose. And that's where we get into all the problems, is that nobody looks at the situation in the same way. And I think that's why there's always these conflicts, and why one team or the other always feels like they're in the right.
I love it. All right. Very good. All right. Robbie Ray today. I like Robbie Ray. As I said, he's a strikeout guy. He's got 108 strikeouts in 92 innings. Gives up some home runs, but away from Chase Field, a .350 earned run average. Robbie Ray, I say, a good fourth starter, Steve?
Yeah, I think, Marty, for him, the key is he's still a young pitcher, and he's trying to get to the point where he can pitch deep into games. He tends to nibble when he gets ahead. And all of a sudden you look up and there's been a few walks, or his pitch count's really high. Things tend to get out of hand for him in a particular inning. I think it's still the maturity that he's going through right now to make every pitch count. That was kind of what Randy Johnson, the Hall of Famer who works with the Diamondbacks now, is trying to get across to him during spring training. And also other times he's talked to him, is that you need to focus on every single pitch. And that's not easy sometimes for young players, but that's what separates the very good ones from the great ones. And that's what allows people to get the best they can out of their stuff.
Yeah, it looks like the arm is there, because, as they say, a lot of swings and misses, a lot of strikeouts.
Well, a left-hander that throws in the mid-90s, that's a rare thing, and certainly something that had the Diamondbacks excited when they acquired him. And it's just a matter now of trying to get him some consistency and to get him to be able to pitch deeper into ball games.
You know, it was a lot of fun this week. I enjoyed the internet runoff more than I did the election, which took 2 months. I did. I thought, just all the little slogans and the jingles and all this stuff. It actually was fun to have a dog in the race, as they like to say. But you guys had a lot of fun with Jake Lamb and trying to get some interest for him. And I don't see Nick Pecoro of the Republic here this weekend. I thought Nick was in the Lamb costume.
Well, they did. They had a great time with the Diamondbacks had a great time with all the Jake Lamb stuff, and the players did as well. I think it was a much needed kind of release for them after kind of such a disappointing season. But they brought a live Lamb out to the ballpark.
I thought it was someone in a Lamb outfit.
Well, there was, but there was somebody in a Lamb outfit, but there also was a real Lamb. And they brought the real Lamb out. He was in the dugout pregame. He was in the clubhouse. Ruby De La Rosa actually put a sombrero on the Lamb and put him on Jake Lamb's chair in his locker for when Jake came in. There was a Lamb sitting in his locker wearing a sombrero. So they had a lot of fun with it. They did have a fake Lamb as well. Paul Goldschmidt, somebody who is not ever been on social media before, signed up for a Twitter account just to try to get people to vote for Jake. Lamb had a great sense of humor about it, and he did yesterday too. And he said his greatest career achievement is going to be getting Paul Goldschmidt to join Twitter, even if only for a few days.
Yeah, I love it. I tell you, these 3 days were better than the whole All-Star voting. It just it was fun. Michael Saunders got more votes in Canada than the Prime Minister, I think.
Yeah, that's a neat thing for certain fan bases. It kind of gives them a chance to be creative and do things. And
really?
So I think that's a good thing. And Goldschmidt, now he'll go back to getting off of Twitter. And he told people yesterday that the reason he's taken a stance and not gotten on Twitter before or Facebook or any of that is that he wants to set an example for kids, or maybe hopefully influence kids to occasionally put down their devices and get outside and play whatever it is that their sport that they want to play, or just interact with other human beings as opposed to always being glued to their phones when they're walking around. So that's kind of his mission by not being on social media, but even he made an exception for Jake Lamb this week.
Steve Gilbert with us, MLB.com. Always enjoy having you on, Steve. This race in the National League West, you've got a good view of it. The Padres seem to score a lot of runs now. Giants are 9-0 against them. You've got the Rockies, of course. When you get into Coors Field, you never know what's going to happen. You got you guys, and you get the Dodgers and the Giants. How do you see this thing playing out? Is it a one-team deal or two teams? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I'll tell you, Marty, everybody around baseball, and I know that that your listeners don't have that kind of perspective because they're so focused on the Giants. But I'll tell you what, everybody in baseball is just, I think, amazed at the Giants and what they're able to do year in and year out. I mean, look at all the injuries they've had this year. Look at some of the guys they're having to put out there to play in those guys' places, and they're in first place, and they're having another great season. So I think it's always hard to count against the Giants. I think that with this particular core group of guys that they have, whatever magic they have working right now, I just don't think you ever want to bet against the Giants. The Dodgers certainly have the money and certainly have some of the name recognition, but the Giants find a way over the last, whatever it's been, 5, 6, 7 years, to just always be in the hunt and to always overcome things, even when you think that, wow, they're really kind of banged up.
Yeah, sometimes we get a little too close to it, but I'm glad to hear that as a perspective. Steve, I appreciate you being on, as always, and I'll see you shortly up in the press box.
Marty, sounds good.
All right, thank you so much. So, great report from Steve Gilbert. Covers the Diamondbacks for MLB.com. All right.